I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis, chapter 1. Let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, we ask this evening, Lord, would you move upon us in power? Give us an understanding heart, ears to hear, eyes to see, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I've heard that the opening lines of a piece of literature, of a book, of an article, should be so stated as to set forth the theme or the message of the entirety of the book. And in no other book save God's Word is this more true. The book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy was penned by a man named Moses. And the Lord Jesus Christ said concerning Moses, he wrote of me. That truth set forth by the law of the Lord himself ought to give us a good understanding and basis for the entirety of God's Word. Moses wrote of me. I quote this scripture so many times, the two on the road to Emmaus, beginning with Moses and the prophets, and in all the scriptures, the Lord expounded unto those two on the road to Emmaus those things concerning himself. So whenever we look into God's Word, we are looking for the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we hear anything other than that, we've missed it. We've missed the message. We may set forth some truth, but we've missed the gospel. Now you can set forth truth. I told you about the story of Noah. I can give you all the facts about Noah and never preach the gospel to you unless we see deliverance for Noah, a man who in his own heart was wicked, none righteous, not one. And God looked upon Noah in grace, put him in an ark. Ark was Christ. There's the gospel. Deliverance from the bondage of sin by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the first five verses of the book of Genesis, this message right here, it's the story of creation is what it is. And it's the absolute truth. This is the story of the beginning of the story. I mean, you go through the whole chapter into the next chapter, and it's the story of the creation of this earth and the heavens. That's what it is. But in the message of the creation is the gospel. And if we miss the gospel, we've missed it. We've missed it. The gospel of God's grace. That's what the Spirit of God's going to bless. So now let's just look. Let's just look at these first five verses, and may the Lord give us eyes to see the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we see him, I'm telling you, our hearts rejoice. If we see Christ, if we don't see Christ, we don't see it. God's word begins this way. In the beginning. In the beginning of time, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, it has to be the beginning of time because eternity has no beginning. There is no beginning with forever. So in the beginning of time, God, we know who is the author of all things. It is God Almighty. Here is the absolute sovereign. Here is wisdom himself speaking into existence that which was not. God in the beginning created, made out of nothing. He made the heaven and the earth out of nothing. He spoke it into existence. Listen to this, Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What were they made out of? Nothing. Nothing. God created the heaven and the earth. Before the creation of the heaven and the earth, before time began, there was God. The self-existent I am. And the scripture says in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, some say, and I believe according to the scriptures, that they're right. I've read this and I've looked it up and I've looked at the words, but between verse 1 and verse 2, something happened. Something happened. God, in the beginning, created the heaven and the earth. And verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, the scripture declares, and the earth was without form and void. Now, the word was is a key word, because that word is the same word that we find in Genesis 19:26 concerning Lot's wife. You remember when Lot and his wife, daughters, they were taken out before the Lord sent these two angels into Sodom. And these angels went to Lot's house. Just Lot. Justified man. And these angels said, look, we got to get you out of here. Judgment's not going to come on this city till you and your family's out of here. So they took Lot and his wife and his daughters and let them out. And you remember what happened. God told them, said, you go out and don't turn around and look. But his wife turned around. And here's what the scripture says concerning his wife. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, the word was, and the word was, I mean, in the earth was without form, and the word became, in she became a pillar of salt, same word. Same word. So the word was here means became. So here's what the scripture says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth became without form, void, darkness was upon the face of the deep. So between verse 1 and verse 2, there was a change in the earth. And it was a change that took place before man was ever here. Man's not going to be created until chapter 2 in the scriptures here. So something happened. The earth was without form. It became void, without form. It became, and I'm using words that are definitions of these words right here, it became a waste place. A worthless, indistinguishable void. A vast collection of indescribably confused emptiness. Shapeless chaos. That's what the world became. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. What? Darkness was upon this formless void. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth became without form. And the Spirit of God, the Scripture says, moved upon the face of the water. That word moved right there. It's the word that it's like a hen that broods over the eggs. He's kind of hovering over and watching over and moving, and you know, the Spirit of God brooded over the face of this confusion. Now here's what the word reveals. That it was requiring the power of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, to sustain and to render stable the disorderly heap of confusion. Here was a world, an earth, that was without form. And it was void. It was emptiness. It was nothing but utter confusion. And the Spirit of God brooded over it. Sustained it. The Almighty God, who eternally purposed to have a people with Him, for Himself. They were chosen in Christ, Mark, from before the foundation of the world. And here God has made the earth, and the earth became without form, and it was void. And these people have never been created yet. And Almighty God has everlastingly loved them. And He's going to keep them. He's not going to... All that the Father's given Him are going to come to Christ. So what happens in this formless void that the earth has become, the Spirit of God broods over it and renders stability where the Scripture reveals there's instability. God Almighty must maintain order in the midst of disorder that His people might be born and saved. He's going to create them. And He's already seen the fall. He knows they're going to fall. He's already told Adam, in the day you eat, you're going to die. God knows this. God Almighty knows this, but He maintains stability. So whatever happened between verse 1 and verse 2 that rendered the earth without form and void, we're not told. We don't know what it is. I'm speculating. I'm speculating. Was it the effect of Satan's expulsion out of heaven? When the Lord said in Luke 10:18, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. The Lord revealed in John 12:31 the place of Satan's abode. He says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Was it Satan? I don't speak with any certainty right here. I don't dare speculate with any assuredness, but I just wonder. Something happened, and I know just enough about Satan's rebellion against God, and Satan was cast out of heaven, and a third of the angels with him. And this earth became the abode of Lucifer. But between 1 and 2, the earth was without form, and it was void. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And the Scripture declares that, likewise, Almighty God made man. Now here's the picture in the creation, revelation of these Scriptures. The Lord, Genesis 2:7, says the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. There was man. He was created in the image of God. God created the heaven and the earth. Two things here that God has made. God created the heaven and the earth, and God made man, formed man out of the dust and breathed into him. And that man was alive. And the Lord set bounds upon man. He told Adam, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. You know what happened? Adam, in absolute disobedience, did exactly what God told him not to do. Adam disobeyed God. You remember when Satan came to Eve? Who did God tell don't eat the fruit? He told Adam. He told Adam, don't eat the fruit. Satan came to Eve and beguiled her. And he told her concerning her eating the forbidden fruit. In Genesis 3:4, he said, you shall not surely die. You won't die. Genesis 3:6 reveals something amazing to me. I was reading this last night. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You know, nothing was said concerning mankind dying when Eve ate. Nothing said. Didn't say it. It said, she took the fruit and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the next words in Scripture was this, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Adam, by one man's disobedience. God told Adam, in the day you eat, you're going to die. Adam was the only created man. God made Adam out of the dust, made a living soul, and everybody else came from Adam. Adam was the representative. Adam disobeyed. Adam ate of the fruit that was forbidden. And as soon as Adam ate, mankind was without form and void and waste and unstable. Here is man set forth in the creation. God made the heaven and earth. God made man. The earth became without form and void. The absence of light, the absence of knowledge of God on man's part. And now man, like that void without form earth, he's dead in trespasses and sin. And if left in that state, he's going to die and eternally perish. Oh, but for those that God has everlastingly loved, the Spirit of God moved and brooded upon the face of the waters. I think about how long the Lord brooded over me when I was just coming up, you know, going through life, thinking everything was just great, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. No knowledge of God, no interest in God, no nothing for God. I didn't care. I just didn't care. Dead, void, without form, waste. unstable. And Almighty God, by His Spirit, brooded, hovered over, watched over, kept and directed. I never knew what was happening. And here's the Spirit of God brooding over this earth before God's ever created anything. No trees, no man, no animals, no fish, no nothing. It's just void, and the Spirit of God broods over. God watches over His people, keeping them until the time of love was come. The Lord, whoever purposed to show mercy to His elect, who orders all things by the word of His power, assured that His elect are going to be brought to Himself and kept until He's pleased to call them by His Spirit, who moves like the wind sovereignly, blessing the gospel. Oh, how long has God brooded over this entire world? How long? I brought this up before. Mom, I'm sorry I use you for example too many times, I'm sure, but I think about my mother's family. You listen to me. My mama came from a little old town in South Louisiana, just a little French town, Plocheville, Louisiana. And how many generations and generations and generations go back? We're all raised in false Roman Catholicism, just a religion that has their thumb on everybody and fear, and you leave this church and you're going to hell. Isn't that right? You leave the Catholic Church and you're going to hell. There's no two ways about it. How many years and years and years did the Spirit of God brood over that formless void? And in time, God was pleased, as far as I know, to call one out of all of her brothers and sisters. And I would be born in time. And I think the miracle of God's grace, how Almighty God would show mercy, long suffering, the Scripture says, to usward, to His people, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Who was Peter talking to when he wrote that? Listen to 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And when it pleased God, Almighty God, in verse 3, said, let there be light. And there was light. God Almighty, in His infinite mercy, who does as He will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, when it pleased Him to speak in regenerating grace, He imparted the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let there be light. Nowhere else do we ever find anyone but Almighty God as being the initiator of the impartation of light. God said, let there be light. He speaks to the objects of His mercy when they're just going in this formless void of darkness, and the Spirit of God broods upon him. And God, when it pleases him, he says, live. Live. And he gives him a new heart. And he gives them a new mind. He gives them eyes to see and ears to hear. And they see. They see. There's light. I see. I perceive. And he imparts the very life of Christ in them. Christ in you. Let there be light in you. The Lord said, I am the light of the world. And God, in verse 4, saw the light. He saw that light that was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the world was. That's what Proverbs 8:23 says. And he saw the light. He saw Christ and his people. And he saw that it was good. There's none good but God. Here's the fullness of the truth. Whenever the Lord said concerning Moses, had you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. I'm the light of the world. That's what the Lord says. Let there be light. And there was light. In regenerating grace, Almighty God sets forth the glory of himself to his people. And he never loses sight of the light of Christ in his people. This is a beautiful part. God said, let there be light. There was light. God saw the light that it was good. God saw the light. I want to tell you something. Whenever the Lord gives us spiritual light to behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to see him. We're going to see ourselves. That's what we're going to see. You remember the story of the man that was healed of his blindness, and the Lord healed him, and he said, what do you see? And he said, I see trees. No, I see men as trees walking. He couldn't see clearly. And then the Lord touched him, and a man could see all men clearly. He saw himself clearly, and he saw the person of the God-man clearly. He sees other men as he is. I am like other men. He sees men clearly. I'll tell you what a believer sees when God gives him light. He sees the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sees himself. And he knows that in himself there's no good thing. He knows that there's two natures in a believer. You listen to this. God, verse 4, saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God divided. He caused a distinguishing difference between two things. That's what that word divided means. God caused there to be a difference. A difference between what? The light from the darkness. When God saves a man, saves a woman, quickens them by his Holy Spirit, let me tell you what they know. They know that there's a difference between light and darkness. Spiritual light, spiritual darkness. A believer knows that there's two principles within. Before, there was only one principle before conversion, and that was darkness. And you know what? When there's only darkness there, there's no battle going on. No confusion whatsoever. Man's just dead. There's no fighting. But I'll tell you what, when that new man, when God says, let there be light, and God Almighty imparts light, and he sees the light like he sees the blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He sees the light. And he divided the light from the darkness and made a division. There's a new man, there's an old man there. That new man believes God. That new man loves God. He does it, well, I can't. You can't see that new man that the Scripture declares to be there as being without sin. I just, I know it's so. And I cannot see that man without sin in me. All I can see is the inconsistency. God Almighty sees the light. That's what he said. And I'm so glad. And God saw the light, that it was good. Lord, thank you for that. I'm glad you see it. I don't. Lord, I'm glad you behold him, because I'm struggling. God put a difference between the light and the darkness. The Apostle Paul says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Paul struggled to see it too. I'm glad the Spirit of God had him write that. I'm glad the Spirit of God, I thank God for Romans 7. You want a real encouragement? Go home and read Romans 7 again. Romans chapter 7. A believer knows that light and darkness have no communion. A believer knows that God's put a division between them. Light, children of light, they have no desire to fellowship with the deceitfulness of darkness. You just don't want, I don't want to hear a false gospel. Don't tell me about a false God. Don't tell me about a God that makes me sick. It makes me mad. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to go where it's going to be. I don't want to go there. I don't want to listen to you. There's a division. You know, and a believer may be groaning under the burden of the presence of sin, and we all do. But you take heart. God sees the light. The Lord has seen that which he has given, and all of the gloominess of our soul cannot conceal the light of Christ from the eye of God. For that I'm thankful. In verse 5 in closing, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now here, Almighty God has set forth again. Here's the message of these first 5 verses right here. God created man innocent, fellowshiped with him, talked with him. Man disobeyed God and fell in darkness, unbelief. And the scripture says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the void, formless void. And whenever it pleased God, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw and maintained that which he had done. It was good. And God divided, he told, and gave his people the knowledge of this. And God called the light day, the darkness night, evening, morning, first day. Now, here again, in this last verse, the Lord reveals again those two natures. There's two natures in a believer. One of the natures is called day. And the other nature, night. Two natures, two men, day, night. Paul says in Romans 7:18, I know that in me there dwelleth no good thing. But though these two natures, darkness and light, day and night, reside in God's people, and you that know him, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm telling you, you do know what I'm saying. You see the presence of sin and you love the Lord. You see rebellion in your heart and you long to obey him. You want to obey him. But though those two natures, darkness and light, reside in God's people, listen to what God refers to them as. They're called by the name that God has given to the light. They're called by that. There's two natures in them, day, night. But listen to what God has to say about them. 1 Thessalonians. And the reason is because he sees the light. God said, lest there be light. God saw the light. It was good. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. And there's an old man in me that I know is still there. And God says, this is what you're called. What's your name? My name's Jacob. Huckster, liar, cheat. And God told him, he said, no more. Your name is Israel. You're a prince with God. And you look at the rest of the life of Jacob and tell me what Jacob did and how he acted. And you go back, and this is the only thing you can say. God saw the light. Lord, bless the word to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, Gary.